All right.
How about now? Can you hear me now? Praise the Lord. Now I sound really loud. Huh? Thanks, Paul. I appreciate that. You know, it's really nice to know you're loved. You know what I'm saying? I really feel that. You know, I really, really do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You guys have a good week? Did you? Yeah, I had a pretty good week myself. Thinking about last week, you know what I'm saying? Remember what we saw last week? We saw an empty tomb. Huh? We saw a Lord and Savior who's no longer in that tomb. He's risen. Isn't that cool? Huh? Isn't that cool? I was getting pretty excited about that, and I lost my voice Friday, couldn't talk. Can you believe that? Huh? Yeah. I told the Lord, I said, man, you want this sermon, you're going to have to bring something around. And he did. As I'm. Shouldn't even sing this morning, but I did. Praise the Lord. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. We are in total awe of you, Father. How awesome you are. How you praise. And, how you love us, Father. We just... Father, we're going to look at your word this morning, and I'm just going to ask you, Father, to be in your word, powerful in your word, and apply it to our life. Father, we can understand that you are God, that you love us. We can apply your word to our life. We can use it in our life, Father. We can magnify you with it. Father, we just praise you. We thank you. Be with me this morning, Father. I want to be your mouthpiece. Put me out of the way. You step in. Say what needs to be said, what you want said, and I'll say it. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Awesome devotion, Matt. Me and Matt didn't talk this week at all. Can't hardly believe that, but in his devotion went 100%. We're looking for Jesus. Open the eyes of the blind. Seeing Jesus. Did you look at the verse of Scripture we're going to be looking at today? Luke 24. Going to be in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to start in verse 13. Your Bible would probably say the Emmaus Road. Remember that? I'll remember the story of the Emmaus Road. I was trying to think what I was going to preach on and just trying to think about a little different things. And I ran across a discussion two guys were having. One guy is... They're both Christians. One guy has disclaimed to being a Christian now. In 2015, he decided he's not a Christian anymore. He can read Greek and Hebrew fluently. He's very knowledgeable about the Bible. Very intelligent man. Very, very intelligent man. Uses big words that I can't even pronounce. And he was having wasn't really an argument. They were having a conversation about, the Bible really doesn't say that. And so the guy was kind of debating this. And I thought, wow. A guy that can speak Hebrew and Greek, very intelligent, and he's turned away from God. I don't get that. I don't want to know how that happens. You know what I'm saying? But it kind of, I was reading something. I want you to read this. The guy said something. Axiomatic. I thought, what's axiomatic? I worked on a lot of equipment. I never heard anything called an axiomatic. You know what I'm saying? Almost sounded like axiomatic or something. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? It means self-proving. The Bible is axiomatic. It's self-proving. Yeah, I know a lot of other big words, but it is self-proving. And this is something that I read this. I wrote this down because I thought it was pretty good. If it's true that one book was written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors about one man, that would be impressive. That's impressive, right? If that book made hundreds of predictions about the man which were fulfilled to the letter. That'd be supernatural. That is exactly what the Bible is. A book about one man supernaturally fulfilling hundreds of prophecies, and that man is Jesus Christ. And I thought, yes! Praise the Lord, huh? So I was looking, and it's funny how the Lord always seems to bring verses and Bible stuff to you. And I was looking, and we just went through Easter. And I thought, man, you still got to keep the excitement of that, right? That's exciting, right? I'm making a lot of noise that I shouldn't be making, probably. It's exciting. So Luke chapter 24. And I wasn't going to read some of the first of it, but I think I'm going to have to, you know? Because it says, on the first day of the week, at early dawn, went to the tomb, taking his spices, which they made ready. They found the stone rolled back from the tomb. But when they went inside, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. This is the first time in the Bible that he is not mentioned as Jesus the Lord, but Lord Jesus. First time. And while they were perplexed and wondering what to do, behold, two men stood about in dazzling raiment beside them. Wow. Be kind of exciting, wouldn't it? And as the women were frightened and were bowing down their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for Jesus? He's living. He's not dead. Verse 6, he's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be given over into the hands of sinful men, to be crucified, and on the third day, rise from the dead. Huh? Isn't that cool? Jesus was telling them the whole time he was on earth, guys, I'm gonna, this is gonna happen. I got this stuff that's gonna happen. Oh no, it's not gonna happen to you, Lord. No, it's gonna happen. He's telling them. So verse 13. The Lord Jesus Christ. I've read this story. I've even actually probably preached on this story before, I'm sure. Matt hit the nail right on the head. They didn't see Jesus. They didn't see him. They didn't see who he was. Didn't see him. And I want to look at some things that kind of stood out to me in this. It says, behold, that very day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's about 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Two disciples. These are not apostles. Okay? These are just guys that were disciples. They're not part of the 11. These are just disciples, not apostles. If I'm Jesus, who are you going to show yourself to first? Probably people that's closest to you, maybe, right? These guys had never met him. Didn't even know who he was. They knew who he was, but they didn't know what he looked like. Maybe they did. I don't know. The other thing that hit me is, instead of staying in Jerusalem where the apostles were and being together as a church family, what are these guys doing? They're going the wrong way. How many times in my life have I went the wrong way? You ever go down the wrong way when you're driving, go down a wrong one-way street? You ever do that? Am I the only one that's ever done that here? Isn't it great? It's exciting. People are blowing a horn at you, waving at you, everything. It's exciting, right? These guys are going the wrong way. They're going away from... They should have been going towards the apostles. Should have been going towards the church. They're walking away. So here we go, verse 14. And they were talking with each other about the things that had occurred. They're just talking. They're walking. Now get this, okay? These guys, they got a 7-mile hike. Okay? They're going to walk 7 miles to the next town. So here they go. They're walking. There ain't no buses. There ain't no motor scooters. There ain't no rollerblades. There ain't no bicycles. They're on foot. Walking. Okay? And while they're conversing and discussing together, Jesus himself caught up with them and was already accompanying them. These guys are walking. Pretty soon they got a third guy walking with them. Yeah, pretty cool, right? Verse 16, but their eyes were held, so they did not recognize him. They didn't know who he was. They couldn't recognize him. He hid himself from them, so they couldn't tell who he was. Pretty simple so far, right? And he said to them, What you guys talking about? The Greek here is, you ever see two guys throw a ball back and forth, you know, throw a ball, catches it, throws back, catches it. You ever see that? That's the Greek word picture. These guys are talking, asking. They were just back and forth like this, like throwing a ball back and forth. They were just talking. And Jesus says, you just saw a word picture. Isn't that cool? And something that goes right along with that, another not really big. You ever hear of typology? You ever hear the word typology? Types and shadows. You can get books that are like that thick on theological explanations of the Bible. They're that thick. And there's more than one. Typology basically is just types and shadows. You know what I'm saying? Types and shadows. If I'm standing out in the sun and I have a shadow cast. The sun's not overhead, obviously, but it's saying I got a shadow. And Stan comes up and trumps on my shadow. Didn't really trump on me, did he? No, that's my shadow. But if I wasn't here, there wouldn't be a shadow, right? And that's what we want to talk about, types and shadows. Because Jesus is going to talk to these guys about types and shadows. The Old Testament, Christ is hidden. He's hidden in the Old Testament. Everything is the Old Testament. It ties in. It works together. It's unified. It's talking about Him. Everything. Isn't that cool? Types and shadows. He's going to talk to them about it. Let's keep going. I want you to understand that because we're going to see something. He says, and look at this. He asks them, what are you guys talking about amongst yourselves as you're walking along? And they stood still. Have you ever asked somebody a question that's doesn't happen very often, does it? I mean, you ask somebody a question. Eh, blah, blah. I mean, you ask somebody and they have to stop and think about it. That was the question Jesus asked. What are you guys talking about? What are you guys talking about? And they stop and they look sad and they're downcast. Verse 18. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him. Don't you know? Are you stupid? Huh? Don't you watch CNN? Haven't you heard the news? Channel 6? Haven't you watched anything? Nothing? Cleopas is talking to Jesus of Nazareth about Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that something? It'd be like you come up, you know Matt, you know that guy, he's an idiot. You know that guy, Matt, you know that guy. It'd be like you talking to me about that, right? They're talking, trying to explain Jesus to himself. Don't you know nothing? Ain't you seen nothing? Cleopas. Who's the other guy? Or other woman? I don't know. Doesn't say. It says two people. Two disciples. Could have been a man and a woman. Don't know. Some people think it might have been Luke. Because Luke is the only one that gives this really detailed explanation. Matt touched on it in Mark 16. He says, and two other guys going down the road saw him. That's all he says. Two other guys. Pretty simple. Luke says, ooh, this isn't it. Ooh, I'm going to tell you how this worked out. So Luke must have talked to somebody or been there. Because he's got a pretty detailed explanation here. Let's go on. Don't know who these two guys were. Do you alone dwell as a stranger in Jerusalem and not know the things that have occurred there in these days? He says, don't you know nothing? And Jesus says, what kind of things? What are you talking about? What's up? What are you talking about? What? 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 Right? Is that a big thing anymore, kids? What? I don't know. I don't know if it's not. It used to be a big thing, right? You say something, they go, what? Huh? I can just picture Jesus saying, what? What things? What are you talking about? And they said to him about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in work and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers gave him up to be sentenced to death and crucified him. Verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who would redeem and set Israel free. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have occurred. And moreover, some women of our company, astounded as they drove us crazy. They said they were at the tomb in the morning, but they didn't find his body, and they returned saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. That's a lot to say, isn't it? So these guys tell Jesus, that's a problem I think we have with reading the Bible. We like to take the good stuff, the blessing. But I'm not going to get hurt. I got no pain. No heartache. No trouble. Nothing. Isn't that cool? Sounds good, doesn't it? If you do this, you have a lot of money. If you do this, you get more money. If you do this, you have a lot more money. Huh?
that what you want to hear, right? We think, that's cool, that's what I want, right? Because there's other things in the Bible that says, there'll be a little suffering going on. There's going to be a little testing of that faith thing you got. Something going on, right? The Jews read the Old Testament. You got to figure at this time the New Testament was not written. All we had was the Old Testament. They knew the Torah. They knew the Old Testament. All they saw was a Messiah that was going to come and set Israel free. Yay! Right? But they missed all of the parts of it. Said what he had to do to get to that point. And you see what these guys say. We thought he was the guy that was going to say, we thought he was going to set us free! No. Verse 24. So some of those who were with us went to the tomb and they found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see him. Verse 25, and Jesus said to them, oh, foolish one. Can you imagine? Now, why didn't Jesus go, it's me? What? I mean, wouldn't you have done something like, wouldn't you have just said, it's me? Here I am? And they'd be like, ah! Wouldn't you? I mean, that would have been cool, right? He didn't. He said, oh, you foolish. You slow-minded. If you look at the Greek here, sluggish in mind, dull of perception, slow of heart to believe. Everything that the prophets have spoken. He's basically saying, don't you believe? Don't you believe? Guys, don't you believe? I told you the whole time I was with you. I told you the Son of Man must be crucified and lifted up and on the third day raised from the dead. I told you. I think they did just exactly what we do. Read the Bible, we see the good stuff, but the bad stuff we kind of walk on by, right? Yeah. So don't you believe? Verse 26. Was it not necessary and fitting that Christ should suffer all these things before entering into his glory? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Honor and glory bestowed upon him above all. He is God. What did he have to suffer to get there? You ever think about that? You ever look back over your life and wonder why you suffered so much? You ever wonder that? Why it hurt so much? Yeah. I think we've all been there. Look back over life. But you know what? I've never suffered, I don't think, as much as he did. I don't think I've had the emotional suffering he had. I don't think I've even come close to that. I mean, some days it may feel like it, but I never had mobs of people trying to kill me. You? Hating you? No. The church coming after you because they hate you too? Wow. It's pretty major. Your friends all denying you? Running away? You're all alone? No one to help? You're by yourself? Alone? I think about that. Verse 27. This is the verse that got me, and I'm like, why isn't there a book of Cleopas in the Bible? Why isn't there a book of Cleopas in the Bible? Because what's it say here? Verse 27. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, this is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, teaching these two disciples the Word of God. Isn't that cool? He had insight into the Old Testament. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it? He says he starts with Moses, goes to the prophets. He went on explaining and interpreting to them all the scriptures and things concerning and referring to himself. Wouldn't that be a book to read? Wouldn't that be something to see? You know, when you read a verse of Scripture, you ever had it happen? You read a verse? Yeah, it's nice. I read the Bible. It's cool. And then a year from now, you read that like, dude, that's awesome. Huh? You ever had that happen to you? Am I the only one that hasn't happened? Because I have it happen a lot. When I look at verses, I read that, it's like, eh, you know, that's pretty nice. You know, that's nice. That's right. You know, that's pretty nice. And then it's like, wow.
like the Holy Spirit opened something up to me. And I could see that. That's what Jesus was doing to these two disciples. These two disciples have probably read all these Bible verses he's talking about. You guys, could you imagine? You've got 7 miles. How long would it take to walk 7 miles? A long time, half a day probably? What do you think, 4 or 5 hours maybe? You'd have a lot of time to just talk, wouldn't you? Huh? Wouldn't you? I can't imagine how awesome that would be. Why isn't there a book of the Bible saying what he said? I have to ask him that when I get to heaven. He probably said, because you were too dumb to understand it anyway. Huh? So Jesus explains to him, beginning with Moses, the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. Everything in the Old Testament points to a coming Lord and Savior who is going to pay the price for every sin you ever committed. And he was going to take that upon himself. He was going to die upon that cross. They're going to put him in a grave. He's going to come out in 3 days. Huh? You know, that tomb was borrowed, wasn't it? It's borrowed. And as of right now, today, the Jewish people believe they know that tomb it is. And how many millions of people go and see that tomb every year? Huh? You ever been there? You ever seen it? I think Becky and Verlton have. That'd be cool, huh? It's still empty, though, isn't it, Becky? There's nothing in there. But Jesus borrowed that tomb, and the Jewish people have made money off of that tomb for thousands of years. Isn't that something? So when he borrows something, he uses you for something. Only good can come out of it. Isn't that cool? I was thinking about that. That empty borrowed tomb. Still paying money to go see it. Isn't that cool? Gosh, I wish there was a book that said everything he said there. Wouldn't that would be a book I'd want to read? Verse 28. Then he drew near the village to which we're going, and he acted as if he would go further. He was going to walk on by. Jesus was going to walk on by. They had to invite him. Just like you and I, we have to invite him into our life, don't we? He's going to walk right on by. We invite him into our life. But they urged him and insisted, saying to him, remain with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he's going to stay with them. And it occurred that he was reclining at the table with them. Remember what Matt read this morning? Isn't that interesting how he started at verse 20 in Matthew 26 and read all that? As he was reclining at the table with them, he took a loaf of bread, praised God, gave thanks, asked a blessing, and broke it and was giving it to them. He was actually the guest, right? They invited him into their home, right? He was the guest. When he took that bread, when they made bread back then, they didn't have a nice sliced loaf like we have now. Great sense of sliced bread, right? Paul heard that. They had a big loaf, and they would break a piece off and then, give it to people. That's how they ate it. Jesus becomes the host, and he breaks that bread, and he gives it to them. And as soon as he does, their eyes are open. Isn't that cool? Huh? As soon as he does, when he breaks that bread, he becomes host. Verse 31, their eyes were instantly open. And they clearly recognized him, and he vanished. Huh? He gives them that bread, and he vanishes. What do these guys say? And they said one to another, were not our hearts greatly moved and burning within us while he was talking with us on the road as he opened and explained to us the scriptures? Can you imagine? You ever read a verse of scripture, and you hear somebody preach on it? And it's like, ooh, I didn't see that. Or there's a different angle or take on it. You ever do that? I'm the only one who does it. I mean, these guys have read the... doesn't say they were Pharisees or Sadducees, doesn't say. Back then, they didn't have Bibles. They had a scroll. So the New Testament, or Old Testament, was on 5 books of the Bible, was rolled up in a scroll. So you got this big scroll rolled up. Okay. They said by the age of 5, they could take a nail, drive through the scroll, and they could tell you every word it hit because they knew it by heart. So these guys
knew the Bible, had read it many times, had memorized it in their heart. They knew it. And when Jesus expounded to them the scriptures, it was like, dude, I was just... Huh? Excited. You ever get that excited when you read the Bible? Or you just sit there and go, I need to go to sleep, so I'm going to get my Bible out and read it. Is that what we do? Gosh. I ain't going to say that I haven't done that before. Because you start reading through the genealogies, you can... right? Huh? What's interesting to me, the older I get, when I go and study and look at the Word, I have to stop sometimes and just sit back and go, oh, gosh. It's like... My head's only so big. Can I understand what these guys are saying? And rising up that very hour, they went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 gathered together, and those who were with them. They said, "The Lord really has risen. Has it appeared to Simon?" And then they themselves related what had happened on the road and how he was known and recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Now, you just walk 7 miles, eating supper. This happened. You're like, we're going back. We're going back. Isn't that cool? They were excited enough. Have you ever been excited enough about doing something? You're really, really, really tired, but you do it anyway because you're excited about doing it. These guys were excited about doing it. Yes, they were. Now we'll look at 1 Peter. I don't know. I hope you guys get some. I was really touched by the fact. Like I said, when I heard those two guys talking, I was touched by the fact that the Bible, everything that's written in the Old Testament is about Jesus. And when I start looking at things going on back in there, I mean, we all know what Abraham and Isaac, remember that when he took him up, he's going to kill him, and there's an offer. He didn't actually kill his son. God had to. God had to kill his own son. God had to put his own son on a cross. God had to kill his own son to place you and I's sin on him. Wow. So I look at the Old Testament, I think about that. And it ties right in, I think, with what we're talking about. 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, Peter, an apostle, Jesus Christ, to the elect exiles of the dispersed, scattered abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father, and consecrated by the Holy Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood, may grace, peace be given to you, increasing abundance, in that spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ, freedom from fears, agitation, passions, and moral conflicts. How you doing with that one? It ain't working for me, Matt. If you're reading this stuff, it ain't working for me. Huh? You ever had that problem? Can you imagine who wrote this? Peter. Peter is explained as the apostle with the mouth shaped, his foot shaped mouth. Because why? He always stuck his foot in his mouth. He never shut up when he should have just shut up. Huh? You know people like that? They should just shut up. I know you think about me when I'm up preaching. Why don't you just shut up? Huh? He denied Christ. Oh my gosh. He denied him. I don't even know the boy. I don't even know him. Never met him before in my life. Don't even know him. Can you imagine? Peter's writing this. Could you imagine what that would weigh on your mind? He screwed up a lot. He should have been really bad shape, wouldn't he? Huh? He wasn't. Verse 3. Praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His boundless mercies, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's like, yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Huh? We have an ever-living... Praise to God the Father who raised Him from the dead.
You ever heard that song, Same Power? That rose Jesus from the dead. Same power in you. You ever think about that? The same power that raised the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from the dead. That Holy Spirit power is in you. Dude, huh? You ever think about that? That same power. Can you get a little excited sometimes when you read the Word and it says something, you're like, yes! You can stand up and do a little jig dance? Huh? You don't want to see that. But I'm like, that's great! Huh? Verse 4. Born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied and unfading, reserved in heaven for you. Barb, Mark, Paul, Karen, Lisa. For you! Put your name there! Put your name there! Chelsea, Elise. I got them straight now. Chelsea, Elise. Huh? Chelsea, Elise. Okay. Isn't that cool? I remembered! Isn't that something? Verse 5, who are being guarded by God's power through your faith till you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. Wow! He says God's got a garrison around you, brother. He's got you garrisoned, sister. He's got you covered up. When it feels like you're surrounded, you are by Him. Huh? Isn't that cool? Got a garrison around you. Verse 6. You should be exceedingly glad on this account. So now, What's this? I'm all excited now, man. You got me poked up. What's this? So now, for a little while, you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations. I don't like that part. We'll just leave that verse out, okay? Everybody agree with me on that one? We'd like to. What's verse 7 say? So that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith, which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. The Amplified says, this proving of your faith is intended to rebound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed. Yeah! You mean... I believe this stuff. How much do you believe it? How long are you going to stand on this, guys? Do you have faith enough to believe it? Wow. Heard a story this week and I had to chuckle. There was a guy who lived in town in a big city. And there was a group of kids there. They weren't kids, young men. They were a bad. They did a lot of bad things. They did a lot of shooting, drive-by shootings and a lot of stuff. This guy, Christian, he gets pictures of these guys and he puts them up all over town saying, wanted. Well, they find out he did it and they want to meet him. These guys got guns, knives, bad group. He said he walks down the aisle, this back alley, walks down to see them. And they're like, you the guys been doing this? Yep, I'm him. I want to talk to you boys about somebody I know, the Lord Jesus Christ. He ended up sitting there for a couple hours talking to guys. And you know what, them guys, now? He said, they're actually protecting people now. Somebody's going to get beat up or something, they're actually stopping them. They're actually working. He's actually still dealing with these kids. And I'm thinking, how much guts would that take to do that? Because they could have just shot him. Right? I think that's a guy that's got something wrong with me. What are they going to do to me, kill me? I said, what? If I get to talk to one of them about the Lord Jesus Christ, I touch somebody. That's something. I don't know if I got that kind of faith. You guys? Stan probably does. He's tough. He can't really self or something like that. I don't know about me. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Let's keep going. Verse 8. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exalt and thrill with inexpressible and glorious joy. You know, I've never seen Jesus. You ever seen him? I see him do a lot of things.
I've actually witnessed him doing a lot of things. I don't know if I've ever seen him.
Verse 9. At the same time, you receive the result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Verse 10. The prophets who prophesied of the grace which was intended for you searched and inquired earnestly about this salvation. He's talking about these guys were looking in the Old Testament. They were looking for the salvation, right? They were looking for the salvation of Israel. He says, listen, these guys were looking, they earnestly, they inquired about it. They were looking for it. They sought, in verse 11, they sought to find out to whom or when this was to come, which the Spirit of Christ working with them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. It's there in verse 12. It was then disclosed to them that the services they were rendering were not meant for themselves in their period of time, but for you.
For you.
Huh?
But for you.
It is these very things which have now already been known plainly to you by those who preach the good news, the gospel to you by the same Holy Spirit sent from Him. Into these things the very angels long to look. Can you imagine a powerful angel? Gosh, they long to look into this book. Huh? Do you understand when the Holy Spirit is inside of you and you open this word and you're looking in there and you're looking and you're reading and you're looking, do you understand the Holy Spirit is opening that up to you? Angels don't have that, guys. You do. You actually have the power of God living inside of you, opening the word to you. Isn't that something? Huh? To me, I thought that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Verse 13. So, brace up your minds.
Sounds easy enough, doesn't it? Walk it off!
Huh? You ever been told that? Walk it off!
I think my leg broke. Walk it off!
Huh? You know what I'm saying?
Brace up your minds. Be sober. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace that is coming when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Do you understand? We serve a risen Savior.
Huh?
Said it a million times. We serve a risen Savior. He actually, His Holy Spirit lives inside you. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. His Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside you. The power that rose Jesus from the dead. And when you look at a verse of Scripture, He couldn't give you the total understanding of that Bible. It would blow your head right off your body at one time. I believe it. I believe my head would...
Huh?
But He gives you little things at the place in your life where you're at. He gives you those things that you can... okay. Got that one? Okay. Got that one? Can move on that one. Okay. And you understand that He gives you those little nuggets. I call them nuggets because they are. They're nuggets of gold you apply to your life. He gives you them at the point in time when you can use them in your life and you can share it with somebody else. Isn't that cool? He wants to use you to share His word with someone else. And you say, I'm not smart enough to...
Join the club.
Neither am I. The more I look at this Bible, I think, my goodness, how dumb am I? Huh? How dumb can one man be?
I've never thought, never looked to see how much time I spend studying. Never really paid much attention to that. But it's not enough. Not enough, guys. That doesn't include just Bible reading. I mean, you should read through the Bible at least once a year. I really believe that. I really believe that's a good thing for everybody to do because it gets that in your mind. It gets in your mind. The Lord can use that. He can get that out of there. But then you got times when you gotta get up here and preach. You know what I'm saying? If you knew next week you had to get up here and preach on something, how diligently would you want to study about something? Would you conveniently get sick and have COVID and couldn't come up next week? Huh?
I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it. You had to come up here and explain a verse of Scripture to people sitting out. How would, I mean, how much studying do you think you would do? Maybe a couple minutes? Yeah, I could. You know, these guys ain't that smart anyway. They'll listen to anything, right? Huh? Huh? Can listen to me. I'm just saying. You see what I'm saying? How much would you study? How much time would you spend studying, looking at the Word, looking at what you wanted to preach about? I think it'd change your outlook. I think it'd be good for everybody just to come up here and preach one Sunday. What do you think? Praise the Lord. I was you a long time ago. Yeah. And then I realized something. When you get up here and you're talking about God's Word, then He has to show up. Because what I say is pretty much just dumb. But when He shows up, He can give me enlightenment. And like you, I always listen to the sermon because I don't know half of what I said. Isn't that terrible? But I don't. I've got 4 pages. Look, guys, 4 pages of notes, and I never even touched them. I'm not that smart. I'm just telling you, I'm not that smart. But He is. He can use you. Don't be afraid to let yourself be used for His kingdom. Let's go, Lord, and pray. I'll shut up. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. Father, we just have to take a few minutes to look at Your Word and just realize that this Word is written. John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You are the Word. This Bible we hold in our hands, we carry around, we leave to sit on the shelf all week and draw dust. It's Your very Word. It's You. Father, give us a heart and love. I want to open that book and read it. I want to open that book and look at it. To open that book, I want to love You. Father, we just thank and praise You for this day. We just ask that this Word be impressed upon our hearts. Father, we just praise You and love You. In precious name we pray. Amen. The praise band comes up. Elders come forward. We offer this time every week. This is a time of prayer for you. This is a time that we'll stand up here, we'll lay hands on you, we'll anoint you with oil, whatever you need. That's what we're here for. Like I said, it's not because we're any closer to God. We're not. We're just going to pray in unity. Unity, sir.